I've known the Smith family for many, many years. Matter of fact, I knew your grandmother and granddaddy down in Tupelo, Mississippi. Know them down there, and they are great, great people. I want to thank Mark for inviting me back again. I was here last year and enjoyed that so much. And we hope that we can say something tonight that will help us in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. 234 years ago, God-fearing men and women founded the nation that we call the United States of America. These dedicated statesmen used the Word of God with as much skill as they could use the axe and saw and hammer and the hoe. They carved out a nation with noble aims and purposes, where God's name would be reverenced and where His word would be respected. Sadly, from the time of the conception of our nation, we have fallen from the lofty heights and now feed upon fleshly lust and immoral corruption. We need to examine the principles that made us great and also the factors that can destroy and bring down our nation. Their greatness can be seen in our ability to send men to the moon, to explore outer space, major advancement in medical field, and also in higher education. But our weakness can be seen in our inability to live peaceably with each other on this planet we inhabit. As a nation, we have forgotten and forsaken the dignity of hard work and the rewards of fruitful labor. Today, we want fewer hours and more money, less work and more benefits. We want to sow to the flesh, but at the same time, reap the fruits of the Spirit. And down deep in our own heart, we know that that is absolutely impossible to do. Let me read you a few passages tonight from the Old Testament and show you how important you are and how important I am in the nation that we love so dearly. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse number 2. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and as a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry land, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The prophet was speaking of King Hezekiah, who made a difference in his world, just like we can make a difference in our world. In Jeremiah 5, verse 1, run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Again, one man, or one person, one man, one woman, one boy, one girl, could have made a difference in that day and age. In Ezekiel chapter 20, in chapter 22, verse 30, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But then the sad part of the verse comes in, but I could find none. Again, one person could have made the difference in that day of Ezekiel. But going down to verse 31 says, therefore, because I could find none, I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord. Again, one person could have made a difference. Nations are not built with brick and mortar, highways and steel bridges and oil wells and gold mines. Nations are built out of godly men and women. And if a nation is rich in manpower, it will never or it will never go into poverty or slavery. We know that one Abraham Lincoln is worth more than all of the gold in Fort Knox. We also know that one George Washington can cause a nation to shake off the shackles of oppression and fight for her freedom. A nation's strongest asset is her people, those that stand firm for God and who uphold the Word of God as the constitution of their soul. We have all heard, read, and discussed many times of the downfall of the great Roman Empire, one of the greatest, strongest, largest empires probably that's ever been. There were five things, according to historians, that brought this Roman Empire down. Number one, there was the undermining of the dignity and the sanctity of the home. Yes, I've been preaching 47 years, going all over this country proclaiming the Word of God, but I have never, ever seen a time as now where the home is under such assault, trying to destroy the sanctity of the home that Almighty God set up. And then number two, there's the higher and higher taxes. All of us know something about that. And they say that it's going to get even worse. More taxes. Our young people are going to have to pay for some of the indebtedness that we have made. And then number three, there's a building of a great armament when the real enemy is within itself, manifesting itself in the decay of human responsibility. It's hard to get anyone to accept the blame for their actions. They want to blame someone else for the problem that they have in their own lives. And then there's a mad craze for pleasure. And I don't know how it is in Montgomery, Alabama, but up where I live in Marion County, we run on ball bearings. It's a ball game every night, sometimes two and three a night. And there was never, ever, several years ago, we've ever thought about having anything that would conflict with a worship on Wednesday night. But now then, that's just another day of the people who are in charge of the sports of our world. And not only that, up in Marion County, they have started a Sunday night softball program. So anything to keep us away from serving God. The mad craze for pleasure. And then there is the decay of religion, where faith becomes nothing more than just a mere form or formality that we go through. We've lost the depth of our conviction before God. Well, the average age of the world's great civilizations, according to historians, have been about 200 years, and then they crumble. Well, we're 234 years into our civilization. I want you to follow the sequence, and this is in your outline, how that you go from freedom back to bondage again. Look at it. We go from bondage. Our forefathers wanted something better for themselves and for their families. And they decided that we're going to leave England and go out and find this new land, this new promise, this new hope that we have for ourselves. So they left that bondage. It took spiritual faith to cause them to leave a land that was their homeland and step on a little old boat and make a journey across the ocean. What faith that must have taken to do that. So you go from bondage to spiritual faith. Then you go from spiritual faith to great courage. Look at the courage that it took for them to wage a war in opposition to free themselves from the tyranny that they experienced in England. And then from great courage, there is liberty. Oh, do we really, really appreciate the liberty and the freedom that we have as Americans today? Well, and from liberty we go to abundance. Can you think of a land anywhere that's more a land of milk and honey than what we have right here in the United States? Abundance. And then from abundance, the more we have, the more selfish we become with that. And from selfishness, when we get to thinking that I've gotten all of this by my own strength, that we don't need God anymore, and we become very, very complacent. And from complacency, apathy sets in, where you don't have any aggressiveness to go out and do more. And then from apathy, you go back to dependence. And from dependence, you go back into bondage today. You know, our national debt is owned by China. About one-fourth of it is owned by them. Many of our larger corporations are being bought out by some foreign power. What would happen if OPEC cut off the oil supply in America? While our hands would be tied, our nation would come to a standstill if that happened. Now then, let me clarify one point, and that is that this is not a political message. You can get those messages down here at the Capitol building, but this is truly a moral and a spiritual problem that we're going to talk about. It does not deal with the politics of a party, but with the purity of practice. Now ponder this question. Will God always bless America? And number two, will God bless America again? Looking out here, seeing all these young people is just heart-touching to me. Will they be able to have the America that I grew up in? Will they have the same freedoms and privileges that I had as a child growing up? There are 929 chapters in the Old Testament. 860 of those chapters deals with the nation of Israel. Now, why was God interested in the nation of Israel? Well, number one reason is because through the nation of Israel came his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to die for our sins. So God was interested in Israel, and he's interested in America. He's interested in all nations because he wants the world to be saved. In Luke 19:10, that's why he came, to seek and save the lost. The things that happen within a nation, whether it be America, whether it be Mexico, whether it be South America or North America, whatever happens within a nation will affect the spread of the gospel in that nation. So that's why God is so interested in all the nations, the freedom to spread the gospel. God is interested in nations. God is interested in America. Now then, consider seven questions about what we're discussing tonight. Question number one, does God still rule over and overrule nations today? There was a time when it could be said that blessed is that nation whose God is Jehovah. Psalms 33 and verse number 12. And then in Proverbs 14 verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. It is still true today, or how we outgrown our need for righteousness. Isaiah 54 verse 5, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. the God of the whole earth shall he be called. And then in Psalms chapter 9, verse 20, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Oh, that puts us down to where we need to understand, right? God is still God, and we're nothing more than just a mere creation of God. So, is this still true today? Or has God just wound up this old earth and set it in motion and then withdrew his power to help us? Well, the answer to that is no, because he is still the Lord of heaven and earth. He has not been dethroned, and he won't be dethroned. Acts 17:24. God has issued his warnings and admonitions, and we would be wise to heed those warnings. Yes, God still rules in the affairs of men and nations. Question number two, has God really blessed America? I believe that any one of us would have to say yes to that. To even ask the question is to bring about an answer to the question. It would be difficult for us to enumerate all of our blessings, but who has brought those to pass? Look at America's blessings. Just think about it. America has been blessed with strength and beauty and excellence. America has been blessed with education, freedom, and liberty. America has been blessed with medical science, space development, nuclear power. America has been blessed with great forests, fertile fields, and abundant supply of water. America produces one-third of the supply of gold. We have 7% of the world's population, but we drive about four times as many automobiles as the rest of the world. Incomes are greater in America than in any other nation. We don't have a flow of people leaving America for some other country, but we have a flow of people coming to America either legally or illegally. God has blessed America much like he did Israel of old. Let me read again. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines, and fig trees, and pomegranate, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Yes, God has blessed America. As you would read that, you would think, surely God is talking about America instead of Israel, because it fits, the fit is there. And then will God bless forever bless America? Let's go back down to four chapters from Deuteronomy 8 to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons, that is your children, and also to thy sons' sons, to your grandchildren. If one did not know better, he would have thought that this is written about America instead of Israel. Even though Israel had been richly blessed, there came a time when her blessings were taken away. And history can repeat itself. The once fruitful vine withered up and dried up. It was plucked up and removed as a dry and thirsty wilderness. Ezekiel 19. God said he would give his people to the enemy. Jeremiah 32. God said he would deliver his people to the oppressor. 2 Kings 21. God said he would sell his people to their enemy. 2 Samuel 12 verse 9. God called Nebuchadnezzar his servant three times in the book of Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar was everything but a good, godly man. And yet God used this evil man to give his people a real good whipping. He called Babylon my battle axe. He called Moab my washpot. God did not bless Israel when she turned from God, and neither will God continue to bless America if we turn so far away from him. Question number four that's so important. What could turn God's blessings from America? Of all the things that we see today, what could turn God's blessings from America? Well, the sins that turn God's blessings from Israel could be the same sins that will turn God's blessings from America. Let's look to the book of Hosea. If you will, just turn that little small book, and it's a very, very interesting study. Hosea 13 verse 9 just simply says that Israel hath destroyed herself. Israel has destroyed herself. That's where America is tonight. We are bringing about the destruction that's pending out there. Now, what were the sins that destroyed Israel? Or what were the sins that they did that helped to destroy themselves? There are 10 sins that are mentioned in the book of Hosea. At least 10, maybe more. But these are 10 that I see reflected in America tonight. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The Church of Christ people 47 years ago, and I was baptized August the 9th, 1961, coming from a denomination into the Lord's family, into the Lord's church. And back in those days, we were noted as a Bible-toting, Bible-quoting people. We knew what we believed because we could take the Word of God and open it up and show you that. And yet today, we have lost that knowledge of God. Why is knowledge so important? Why is knowledge so important? No knowledge equals no faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith is equal to the knowledge that you have in the Word of God and the application you make of that knowledge. And then, number two, Hosea 5, verse 5. The pride of Israel does testify to his face. Israel shall fall in their iniquity. It was their pride. They were lifted up with pride. Hosea 7 verse 8. Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. That just simply means on one side we look good, but you turn it over and you start digging on the inside and it's not done. It is still unfit to eat. So Ephraim was a cake not turned. Hosea 8 verse 3, Israel hath cast off that which is good. They had chosen leaders that God did not approve of. They had taken gold and silver and made for themselves idols. And then Hosea 8 verse 7, they've sown to the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Israel is swallowed up. Be as a vessel wherein there is no pleasure. That is a useless vessel, not meet for the master's use. Then in Hosea 9 verse 6, Israel hath deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. If you know anything about the Old Testament, Judges chapter 19, we have that story of the days of Gibeah. And look what the prophet of God did to try to get the attention of the people of Israel and their sins. There was a Levite that went and stayed in an old man's house. And the sons of Belial, as you'll notice here, they were homosexual in nature. The sons of Belial, they came and desired the man, not the women in the house, but the man, the Levite. Well, they offered them his daughter, his concubine, and they took the concubine that belonged to the Levite, and they abused her all night, and she went home the next day and fell at the door of her master, and the concubine died. Now the Levite took her upon his beast and took her to his own house and took a knife and divided her body into 12 parts and went across the nation of Israel and delivered this part unto one and that part to another until all the parts of this concubine had been delivered, showing them what weakness they had done. Then Hosea 10 verse 13, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you've eaten the fruit of lies, you trusted in your ways, and the multitude of mighty men. Once one always reaps more than they sow. You always reap more than you sow. And when you get through with sin, sin may not be through with you. There may be some consequences that you'll have to suffer the rest of your life for the sins that you have committed. Hosea 11 verse 8, and my people are bent on backsliding from me, though they call to him that's on high. None at all would exalt him. And they were backslidden in a backslidden condition. In Hosea 13 verse 2, and now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of their craftsmen. And they say, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calf. Hosea 13:9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine hope. But you have turned away and against the only hope you have. Now then, the book of Hosea is not a cold, sophisticated study of the social life and religious conditions of Israel. It is really, really a broken-hearted God mourning over Israel because she had left her first love. In order for Israel to see her sinful condition, God told Hosea to go out and marry Gomer, who was a woman of whoredom. You see, desperate circumstances call for strong measures. And throughout the book, we see God's love is greater than his wrath. Just as Hosea pursued Gomer, trying to woo and win her back to himself, God tried to win Israel back to himself. Listen to the final warning in the last verse of the book. Who is wise and who shall understand these things? Who is prudent and he shall know them? For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. And then question number 5, what kind of America has God promised to bless? What kind of America has God promised to bless? God will bless a righteous nation, a nation that repents and turns back to God. Now, with patriotism welling up in our hearts, we get to thinking, well, we're Americans. We deserve these blessings. In order to keep our feet in the wheels of progress, brethren, we've got to keep our knees bowed down in prayer. We have those who would get all disturbed if a bill was passed in Washington, D.C., outlawing worship unto God. And yet, how many are faithful in their worship that they have the freedom to engage in every day? God wants us to put our actions where our mouth is. Live so that God can continually give America these blessings. All right, how does America now stand? You know, it's possible and very probable that we have been looking after ourselves and we haven't looked at ourselves. How are we morally? How are we socially? How are we religiously before God? It isn't what a nation has in its hand, but what it has in its heart that makes it great. America's hope does not lie in buildings, but in the Bible. Not in riches, but in righteousness. Not in attainment, but in atonement. And not who we are, but what we are. Not in church buildings, but in character building. Several years ago, People magazine ran an article entitled Sin, S-I-N. And they asked their people that read their book to rate certain sins that they listed. And they rated it from 0 being okay up to 10 being very horrible. From 0 to 10, 10 being okay, but 0 being okay, but 10 being horrible. And they listed the sins and told the people, and they got an overwhelming response back from that. So this is kind of a survey of sin. They listed murder being horrible. 9.84 is what the public listed that. They listed rape as 9.77. They list incest as 9.68. They list wife swapping as 8.09. They list adultery as 7.60. Now hold on to this one. They list industrial spying as 7.53. They list bigotry as 7.42. And they listed taking drugs, illegal drugs, 6.24. They list homosexuality, 5.78. They list abortion, 5.77. 2 points under industrial spying. This was less a sin, according to American, than industrial spying. And then parking in a handicapped zone, 5.53. Reading pornography, 4.31. Living together without being married, 3.74. And premarital sex, 3.60. Now, where would you have rated these sins if you had been sending your survey back in? Now, what's your rating of America? Well, that's not really important. More important is, what is God's rating of America? Here's your Senate sermon for this lesson. What one generation does in moderation, the next generation does in excess. Now, you mark it down. What one generation does in moderation, the other generation goes further and does it in excess. Final question, number 7. Where does our hope reside? I love my country. I love America with all my heart. I have no desire to live outside of the United States of America. But where is our hope? The hope of America lies within the individual and their relationship unto God. You and you and you and you and myself, we're the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And what goes on in this church building Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, what goes on in your life every day is more important to preserve our nation as any law that is enacted in Washington, D.C. or Montgomery, Alabama. You need to understand that. That's how important you are and how important that you live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. If God could save a nation through one woman named Esther and spare a multitude through the prayers of one man named Moses, and brought on a revival by a little 8-year-old boy named Josiah, then, well, who knows what your prayers and your godliness and your dedication can do for our country. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and will heal their land. So what are you doing for America? I heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne, and they were told that he would spare their lives if they would only renounce the name of Christ. But one by one, they chose to die. The Son of God, they would not deny. Like a great angelic chorus sings, I can almost hear their voices ring. Now the years have come and the years have gone, and the cause of Christ still lives on. And now our time has come to count the cost, to reject the world, embrace the cross, and one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on the final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. To the Lamb of God who bore my pain, who took my place and bore my shame, I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Yes, God has blessed America. We have received great blessings from our fathers and forefathers. We have an opportunity to run with that baton of faith and freedom throughout our life, and hopefully and prayerfully hand that off to our children in better shape than it was than what we found. Let's have a brief prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful to be here tonight. And God, we're thankful for our country. We know that we have many problems, but problems have been your specialty all down through the years of time. Father, we know that you can help us, and we ask for your blessings again to be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.